Welcome to Kindly Gifted. I'm your host, Kate Tarantiva, and I can't wait to unwrap the world of influence with you. Every day, your gifted episodes, see what I did there, to help you become fluent in the business of creativity and learn the best-kept industry secrets to creating an online presence worth remembering. It's really like having a momager on speed dial. So let's dive into it. Word on the street is that TikTok is losing its hype. And to me, that's not really surprising. As a marketer, I think other marketers can relate, or anybody who's been on social media for a while. It's not particularly surprising that TikTok is quote unquote losing its hype and now has to focus on like user retention as opposed to just user acquisition. Cause I think they've done a great job with user acquisition. The reason it's not particularly surprising is because when you look at other social media platforms in the social landscape, so YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, Snapchat, they had more time to become a staple in people's lives, especially within the creator economy. Right. So if people and brands are creating content there and using it as part of their content distribution strategy or marketing, or they're growing their brands on there, whether it be businesses or personal brands, there was more time for those platforms to become the places where you can grow your brand or your personal presence. TikTok had a shorter window of time for that because they became mainstream so quickly. And they were focusing on, you know, user acquisition. And they had features at the time that no other platform had prioritized, no other platform had thought of. We're now in an era where interest is plateauing a little bit. One, because every other platform has created their own, you know, TikTok-like short-form features, and bombarded people so much with short form content that we are in an era called short form fatigue, which is something I mentioned in episode 123, the five FAQs of starting a podcast, and like why you probably see a large influx of people starting podcasts or YouTube channels or newsletters, is because they're realizing that something that Gary Vee realized long, long, long ago, which is that short-form content is not where you build relationships. Short-form content is used to hook people in, to be that first impression on something so that you can drive traffic to a podcast, a newsletter, a YouTube channel, a live, right? Whether that's on Amazon or any other platform. And so it's part of an overall market strategy as opposed to the main place you go to build your brand. Again, that's very different from, you know, the 2016, 2017, 2018, where you saw companies like Away Luggage build their entire marketing strategy on Instagram. That's not really the case anymore. And you're not so much using short form platforms to like build your brand. You're using those platforms to drive traffic to a nurturing platform like YouTube, like Substack, like a podcast, where you create those deeper relationships with people and they get to know who you really are, right? So they may have a great first impression of you from your stories, from your TikTok, from your Reels, but if they go to a YouTube video or they go to your podcast and they don't really like your personality or they don't like who you are, then like you've lost that person now from your community simply because they just don't align with you, and that's totally okay. And that is why I always say that I don't fear oversaturation. Like when people are like, you know exactly what I'm fucking talking about. Those videos on TikTok and everybody's like, the industry is so oversaturated. Okay, no, it's not. Because long form content weeds out so many people. Okay. Long form content is a long game. One, first of all. And two, it's a game of nurturing and relationship building, which means you actually have to give a fuck about your community. It's not about you. It's not about how great you are. You actually have to provide value, because if you're making a 20-minute video or a 20-minute episode or asking people to read a newsletter, you have to give them something. You can't just be like, me, 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 me. Like, nobody cares. On TikTok, on Reels, on Shorts, that's maybe more consumable because there's less time. People are like, okay, yeah, that video was a waste of time. But, like, I only lost 15 to 60 seconds, right? Whereas the last thing you want somebody doing is coming to the end of a podcast episode or a video or a YouTube video or your newsletter and being like, bro, this gave me nothing, and unsubscribing. They unsubscribe because they watched the whole thing and you didn't give them anything. So long form content weeds out a lot of creators. It weeds out the creators that are just in it for them or in it for fame or whatever. It also weeds out people who simply don't have personalities because, like it or not, you need to have some sort of personality for long form content. A very interesting writing style, especially if you're writing about something boring. So for example, like, one of my favorite newsletters that I mentioned before was Leah Haberman's newsletter. She is an adjunct professor of influencer marketing at UCLA, and I love her newsletter. I think she writes really well. I think that it's very condensed. It's very skimmable. I click on the things that I'm interested in, but also it's just, like, written really well. And she very clearly understands the person that she's creating this for. But if a newsletter is not really, like, written in an interesting way, for me personally, I'm not the target for that, and I'm going to unsubscribe. Or if the person is just selling me shit all the time in a newsletter, like, I'm going to go as well. Same with a YouTube video, right? Like, personally, I fucking love Jeffree Star's makeup reviews. I'm not, you know, like, a beauty guru or anything, but have I bought stuff that he said was good? Yes, because I just love his delivery. I love his honesty. To me, I respect that. And so that, for example, would be a reason why I would be retained in his community as opposed to somebody who's like, I don't really like him or his personality or the way he looks or whatever. And then that person is lost, and, like, that's okay. So in long form, and this is why, if you've ever worked with me, which is usually I do, like, bespoke services for people who want to build personal brands or who want to build companies and come and consult with me. This is why I spend a lot of time on target audience. If you tell me you already have a target audience, great, I want to see it. If you tell me you don't have one, we're going to build one. It's one of the most important parts of successful long-form content. In order to nurture a community, you need to know how to nurture them. Like, when people are like, long-form content is about nurturing your community, that means absolutely nothing to you if you don't have a target audience, because you don't know how to nurture them. You don't know what they need, what they don't need. You don't know how to make them need something that they don't currently know they need. How to shape perception. How to get them to watch a video that you think they really need to watch, but it maybe doesn't have a lot of views on it, right? You have to go to back to the drawing board, maybe re-edit that video. Or maybe there are some words that need to be simplified because you explained a difficult concept in a difficult way, right? So long form content is a long game for that exact reason. You have to give a fuck about the people that you are looking to nurture and build relationships with this type of content. Furthermore, you have to be incredibly delusional in the amount of belief and trust you have in yourself and your vision, because it is a long game. It's not going to instantly monetize you unless you're already very well known. So if a celebrity or a very well-known influencer or public figure, you know, creates a podcast and has 100,000 streams in a few days, that's expected. That should be the case. It'd be really weird if it was the opposite, right? But for a smaller creator or somebody who isn't super well-known, it's okay if it takes you a while. You have to be comfortable to experiment. You have to be okay with something not being monetized instantly with long form content. So I'm also kind of happy that long form content is becoming prioritized, because I hope that will also translate in the way that we connect with people in general, and that we begin to understand that the relationships that we create with creators and brands, but also people in our lives, are not instant. right? And if you don't get instant gratification from a connection, whether it be online or in real life, it doesn't mean that that's a bad connection or it's not worth putting work into it to make it succeed. Because when it comes to long form content, that's what you're doing. Relationships and trust are built over time. You're not going to get that immediately unless you are transferring audience over from a short form platform onto a long form platform. And that audience is already familiar with you and they already like you. But you do run the risk that they may not like you in long form. And that's why if your content does not include you speaking in short form, you run a bigger risk with that. You may see a lower conversion rate when it comes to your long form content because people may be like, oh, that's her personality? I don't like that. And that's just something you have to be okay with and figure that out as you go. So I'm personally really excited that long form content is being prioritized. I mean, I'm a podcaster, so I'm biased, but I'm also curious at the same time how TikTok is really gonna try to compete with some of these other platforms that have already included short form into their strategy, you know, Reels, Shorts, Snapchat, Facebook Reels. Because I personally do love TikTok. I think it's very entertaining. I think it's a great platform. It has a different community and a different attitude than some of the other platforms. But with YouTube coming back, that's who they're competing against now. They're not competing against Instagram. They're not competing against Facebook or Snapchat. They are competing against YouTube, who, when they released Shorts, and this is the last thing I'll say, when YouTube released Shorts, I'm not gonna lie, I was like, bitch, y'all late. Y'all are late to the game. But now I'm like, that was probably one of the smartest things they did, is release Shorts after everybody else already released the Reels and the TikToks and Snapchat. They did Shorts because now they're like, well, we have short form content and long form content for people to enjoy. So I think that YouTube is going to take over 2023, and that is who TikTok has to see as their biggest competitor. So I'm rooting for TikTok as well. I hope that they and YouTube will, and with other podcasting platforms and newsletters, will like really take over the internet and provide people with not just bits in 15 seconds and 60 seconds, but actually create a relationship building platform between brands and their audiences, between creators and their audiences as well. Thanks for tuning in to Kindly Gifted. To support the podcast, please leave a review, share with your friends, and don't forget to subscribe. Make sure you follow me on TikTok at Kate Mob for more creative secrets from the internet's momager. See you on the next episode of Kindly Gifted.